Are you ready to experience something extraordinary? Cultural gems in Croatia, ancient temples in Asia, art in Italy. We'll take care of everything. Flights, accommodation, excursions, local guides and all that planning. Travel department. Let's see more.
Well, hello there, and welcome to another Senior Times Woman to Woman podcast with me, Mairead Robinson. Now, there's no doubt that there have been huge changes in Irish society over the past number of years. Even compared to a generation ago, we're now seeing a situation where there is later marriage, fewer babies, and more divorce. In fact, one in every 10 marriages ends in divorce or separation in Ireland now. And while the social and emotional effects on the couple are huge, the financial impact can be off the scale altogether. It's estimated that the average cost of a contested divorce is between 10 and 20,000 euro per spouse. And indeed, when the High Court gets involved, that figure can skyrocket. So my guest today knows only too well how difficult divorce can be within the Irish legal system. And she has experienced it not once, but indeed twice. Michelle Brown has written a book entitled Scars of Divorce, where she details not only her own experiences, but also explores the alternative process through mediation, particularly in acrimonious situations. So, Michelle, thank you so much for joining me today. And will you start by telling me about your own experiences as you detailed in your book?
Hi, Mairead, and thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted to chat to you about such an important topic as is how we divorce in Ireland in today's society. So in answer to your question, tell you about my own, I suppose, like everybody else that I've encountered, I got married in order to stay married and live happily ever after. Unfortunately, was not the case. My own experience of marital breakdown was extremely difficult. And as you said, not once, but twice. It didn't make it any easier. The second time round, in fact, it was harder. So I suppose my experience is that it was difficult by and large. And I suppose when you say my experience, is it my experience of the emotional side of it and the actual marriage breakdown itself was very, very hard. You know, young children trying to get through the day, trying to, you know, figure out where you were going to go, in the sense that everything you thought was going to happen was no longer going to happen. Your idea of what that future looked like was ripped from under you. Now, it happens for different people, different ways. Some people can see it coming slower, but one way or the other, it's a trauma. It's something that's really, really hard to deal with. And having small children and having to pick yourself up was no mean feat at all.
Tell me, Michelle, were your children, I know they were very young, but were they aware of what was going on?
Not my two small ones. My youngest was two and then three, and I had a 10-year-old. So that was the second marriage breakup, which was by and large, it's in the book, it was by and large the most difficult. Both were difficult, but the second one, having three small children, and the first one was fully aware, yeah.
I'm sure a 10-year-old would be quite aware of what was going on. Which makes it even much more difficult for you, for yourselves.
Yeah, it's difficult. It's difficult. And that's what I can resonate so much with other people who are dealing with it, whether it's men or women, that, you know, trying to get through the day and pretend you're okay to everybody. And for me, it was, you know, pretending to my parents, pretending to family, pretending, because you don't want people to be worrying and you don't want people to be feeling sorry for you. And it's a really, really difficult journey.
Of course. And you don't want to be a topic of gossip for all the neighbours and everyone and sundry either, because that can be very hurtful.
Yeah. And unfortunately, this is kind of really something that I wrote about in the book, because unfortunately, how we're looking at divorcees in Ireland, in society, is that it's a subject of gossip. Yes. And it's as though, you know, what happened, who did what, who got what, who, you know, rather than actually they're the that person is, or those people, or that family are dealing with a form of grief. Something that you had planned for the rest of your life is now gone. And, you know, it's really, really tough. So how we address it and how we look at it, it's something that's not spoken about, Maureen. That's the other reason I wrote it as well. We don't talk about it. We say we're grand. It's so Irish. We're grand.
Yes.
You know, and we're not. And we also feel a little bit ashamed, and we feel a little bit embarrassed. And, you know, that affects different people. And now in my business and what I'm doing now to try and help keep couples out of court in my line of work, I speak to couples every day. And I really know it wasn't just me. People are carrying guilt and shame and stigma through their lives in their breakups, you know, and that's happening in 2024.
But what's the best way to deal with that? I mean, you can have mediation for the practical stuff, but what about all the emotional stuff? How do you think that's best dealt with?
Well, I wrote in the book my journey and how I did, because people have said to me for years, how did you cope? How did you get through it? How did you manage? And for me, when I, you know, you have to look after yourself. Everybody that comes into my office for mediation without fail will say the most important thing is the children. And I say, if you can look after yourself and you are okay, the children will be okay. So, you know, when you're struggling to put one foot in front of the other, when it's all falling down around you, you can only deal with one step at a time. Trying to imagine what the rest of your life is going to look like is pointless, and it's really hard. So one step at a time. Okay. And then, like, it's really back to basics, sleeping and eating and a little bit of exercise. I say in the book, a lot of what saved me was my walks. I used to go off, I dropped the children. It was really hard to get away from the school without crying, or the younger kids were in creche at the time. But to try and put one foot in front of the other and look after yourself. You know, we were very, very hard on ourselves. There's a lot in the book about self-help and self-care.
Yes, I can see that that's very important. I suppose women, especially as mothers, we want to protect the children. So perhaps women blame themselves when really, as you say, they should be nurturing themselves to be stronger for their children.
Yeah. And I think we're getting better at it, recognizing, you know, we're in a world now where self-care is everywhere, you know, and I suppose it's recognizing it. So having a conversation, it's OK. You know, we're not to blame. The marriage has broken down, you know, and it all links into the torturous system that is our broken legal system that we nearly feel that some kind of punishment must be coming our way because of the guilt associated with the marriage breakup. So we've been putting it up with it. But I think it's about establishing a way of doing things that's better for us. And it's all linked, it's all combined. We need to change how we are going through the motions of processing our divorces. You know, we don't have to endure this torture. We have to look after ourselves. You know, as a society, I'd love to see more conversations, more chats to say, this is what went on. The marriage broke down. People were badly hurt. The family needs support to move on. And there's another chapter there for people. And it's how we deal with the breakup, how we look after ourselves, is dependent upon how we go on to that next chapter.
And do you think, Michelle, it's possible to get rid of the blame element, one blaming the other?
I think it's possible to reduce that, you know, it's to reduce that getting worse. There'll always be a blame, but we can either fuel that or try and put it out. So that's again down to our system, whereby we take a case against each other, which is the traditional route to divorce, which is him going to a solicitor, her going to a solicitor. You're building a case. It is putting fuel on that blame.
Yes.
So this is why I'm really pushing for couples to, as a way of dealing with divorce, to look at mediation first, to say, we're going to sit down with somebody who's going to work for the two of us. And it's got, your mediator puts the fires out. It doesn't inflame them.
Sponsored by Expressway. With My Expressway, free travel pass holders can reserve their seats online at expressway.ie or at our ticket machines in stations.
Are you interested in trying a new smartphone but still a little unsure? Do you want a phone that offers larger icons with louder sound and an interface that has technology designed for seniors? Well, why not choose from the Doro range by simply visiting doro.ie. Doro, make friends with innovation.
I know we have a mediation act now. I think it was 2017, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But even prior to that, I believe through the Legal Aid Board, you can avail of free mediation.
Mediation has been around for decades and centuries. But what happened with the Mediation Act was a game changer for how we can deal with our divorce, because what that means is that a legally binding separation agreement can be achieved outside of the courtroom. Okay, so it's a kind of needs more highlighting and more understanding and more talking about it. So what does that mean? That means you can go to an independent mediator who will work with the couple to draw up an agreement that the mediator can draft for the couple, and it can be a legally binding separation agreement, and you don't need to step inside the courtroom to achieve that. So an awful lot of couples do that here, and then they will say, well, when we're ready in a year or two, go and get a consent divorce. To go to the courts for a consent divorce is a very, very different process than a contested divorce. So that's the best model as I see it. Agreement using the Mediation Act, and then you have the ability to go in and deal with the necessary paperwork in court, which is a very, very different.
Sure. Prior to that act, wasn't it possible for couples through the Legal Aid Board to have a mediated separation, which is free and which is legal and which is binding?
No, not to my knowledge, no. It wasn't a legally binding experience through the Legal Aid Board prior to, because the Mediation Act only allowed for it to become a legally binding agreement. So to be honest, that's a different route. The Legal Aid Board is obviously looking after trying to provide legal services to people who can't afford it. And, you know, that has been there for decades. But I came into this after 2017. And learnt all about the Mediation Act. And for me, that's the key, because that act is what made it legally binding to deal with this outside of court.
Yeah, it was certainly going to a solicitor and having the succession details and all of those things sorted out would be very important, all the financials and so on. So now in your work, you are a mediator for separating couples. What do you find, I suppose, the most difficult aspect of helping people to mediate their separation? What's the most difficult part? Is it the blame aspect? Is it arguments over the children? Is it financial? What are the main issues you have to start with?
The most difficult to get over are the financials. The financials, without a shadow of a doubt. Generally, people come in and everybody's on the same page that they want the best for the children.
Yes.
You know, they want. So working through a parenting agreement with couples is something I do for every couple that have children that get separated with me. We do a parenting agreement, and that can usually go quite well, because, you know, that's the bit that an awful lot of parents are in agreement with, that they want the best for. However, when it comes to finances, it can be really difficult, you know, kind of trying to, I suppose, reality test with people what's fair, trying to get a clear picture, because we do full financial disclosure in mediation, which is an entitlement to both parties. You know, it needs to be transparent for it to make agreements. So I suppose the finances are the hardest. Always. Yeah.
So a mediated agreement that you have helped facilitate, what makes that legal then? Just taking it to a solicitor and having it?
No, it's the Mediation Act itself makes it legal.
Okay.
So the Act itself is what is making it legal. Currently, the Act states, the Mediation Act, that a legally binding separation agreement can be drawn up. So obviously there's a lot in the Act that needs to be adhered to, such as the full financial disclosure. And the responsibility is on the mediator to verify the details of each client. But ultimately, it's their agreement. It's for those parties. Because currently, parties can go to the courts themselves without any representation.
Of course, yes.
It's not a requirement to have a solicitor. Now, don't get me wrong, your mediator's obligation is to inform clients that they are entitled to take legal advice. So it really depends on the circumstances. You could have people who are coming in here looking for a divorce or, terms, who have no property, who have no pensions, who it's very straightforward, or yes, one or two properties, and they know what they want to do. And it's really clear, you know. So if there's a point where you run into difficulty with either party around, you know, a property or a division of an asset, there's always the opportunity to take a break and take independent advice and then come back. So that's always built in there. And I do very often work with clients who have solicitors, and we speak to the solicitors and they assist the parties individually, depending upon what is involved in that particular agreement.
Yeah, I think what I was trying to get clear myself is that after the mediated agreement, which you facilitated, what makes that legally binding? Do they have to? Do you or do the couple have to take that to a solicitor, have it rubber stamped? No.
No, there's no need for a solicitor and there's no need for it to be ratified by the court. It's like having the deeds of your house with no mortgage on it. It's their agreement to keep. Now, they are the terms that most couples go on and use for a consent divorce in the future. Some of them are ready to go for a divorce straight away and they take it and they go to the courts for a divorce. But no, there is no need for it to be ratified by a solicitor.
Okay. All right. That's the difference with the Mediation Act then, obviously.
Yeah, that's what the Mediation Act, Act brought about, which is a game changer for couples who want to sit down and avoid the courts and want to avoid taking a case against their spouse, which I suppose that's the hardest bit, taking a case against your spouse.
Of course.
And you have children and somehow you have to sit down at that child's confirmation or communion or wedding or whatever, and you have torn each other to pieces and cost each other an absolute fortune in the process. And it just, for me, it destroys part of people.
Of course.
It tears you. So it's, I would avoid it at all costs.
Do you think there are more people, more couples in Ireland now availing of mediation now that it's there and legal and accessible? Are more people available of that?
Yeah, I think it's growing. Unfortunately, I think there is a fear around the legal world in Ireland. You know, I think for many years, people were afraid of the church in Ireland. They were afraid of priests. My mother would say, well, we were all afraid of priests. But I feel that there's an awful lot of people have a fear around the system. They, you know, they think that there's something going to be achieved and they don't understand the process, the legal process, that, you know, it isn't transparent enough with what's going on. There's not enough clarity around what, you know, the family law is.
The language doesn't make it any easier. Sure, it doesn't. The legalese.
People come in to me all the time after having had a consultation with a solicitor, and I ask them, well, what advice did you get? And they don't know.
Yes.
Because I don't know. And they've spent 300 quid for half an hour and they don't know. They're none the wiser.
Yeah.
You know, it's really, really unfair. Now, look, it's not about any particular profession. I really feel that the government needs to do more to help improve what guidelines, to put guidelines in place, rather, for people who are breaking up. Our law is really vague. We state that correct provision must be provided. Correct provision can be interpreted any way you want.
Yes.
And all our government needs do is create guidelines as to what that looks like. What maintenance looks like, guidelines, is it 10, is it 20% of a person's wages, is it guidelines? Other countries have guidelines. We
really
don't have guidelines as to what correct provision looks like, as to what marital assets are. We also don't have prenuptial agreements. they are not legal in this country. And if we had prenuptial agreements, if we had further guidelines, we wouldn't have a fraction of the cases that are queuing up in our broken court system in Ireland.
And is there pressure on the government to do that now? I mean, I know you're saying this is something that you would advocate. Is there a movement towards getting those guidelines, do you think?
It has been raised about the maintenance, and it's something that the government have agreed to look at. The justice system have agreed to look at guidelines for maintenance. But everything that turns in the government is going to be a slow yes. process. And to be honest with you, it doesn't need to be. There needs to be the will to create this. It's as simple as, Mairead, what has come out of the courthouses in Ireland in what judges have awarded in maintenance for 2 years? Just look at it. Let's do an examination of what has been awarded. It wouldn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out and to put guidelines in place sure. on that basis of what's happened for the last couple of years, percentage-wise. You know, what way should assets be divided? You know, should it be 50-50? Should it be 60-40? Should it be 70-30? And on what basis? So, like, the guidelines aren't there. It makes it much more difficult. As you say, the language around the law is intimidating. So as much as the more people understand, people are very sensible and they're saying, no, I get this. I get it. I understand it. But we have been in this space whereby people have a fear when they have broken up that they need representation. And I would say, it's really important to remember we're not criminals because our marriage had broken down. Good we point. Shouldn't be in fear of the law, yes. right? When we are in fear of the law, you kind of, and as well as that, remember, you're vulnerable, you're brokenhearted, you're trying to fix your children, and you're in fear that you need representation. It's okay that the marriage has broken down. Yes, the government needs to do more, but you don't need automatically representation. You know, there are certain people that will always need cases. If somebody is removing marital assets, if somebody is, you know, refusing to be fair or negotiate a fair agreement and they're, you know, refusing to play ball at all, yes, there will always be the need for cases for certain circumstances. But there's other ways of deterring those cases, Mairead, as well. And that would be quite simple to say, well, all the costs will be paid by the person who's removed the marital assets. Or, you know, there's ways of trying to deter these cases. But nobody is looking at how can we reduce the cases. Yes. At the moment, the government is focusing on, can we build more courts and get more judges? And, yes. you know, let's work on look at it from the other angle, you know. So,
no, that makes perfect sense. Finally, as a matter of interest, have you ever had a couple that you just couldn't manage to get them to agree on anything? For a while, I was just thinking, for example, the man, you know, if the woman is saying this, that, and the other, the man is saying, no, I'm not going there. Like, how do you have to send them away to try and work it out? Or how do you feel being in the middle of that kind of situation?
I thought you were, first of all, I thought you were going to ask me, did I ever have anyone that got back together? And you know, I was going to end on a happy note. Yes, I have done on a couple of occasions, but that was just
good.
A sheer accident. But what you described there as the difficulty in coming to an agreement is something I deal with every single day. I will say, however, though, the vast majority of people that come to my door, I'm a private practice mediator here, and they have the willingness to want to sort it out. Yes. Do you know what I mean? So yes. really, success rates are quite high because they're coming of their own
free will.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So for that reason, I know that most of my clients that are here are, you know, working towards an agreement. So to be honest, their success rate here is quite high. That doesn't mean it's easy. That yes. doesn't mean, you know, there's often hurt in the room. I very often would see when clients are in trouble, as in the communication is really bad or there's a lot of hurt, I will see them separately. Right, that helps. And yes, there's been many times when I've had to say, look, when we're trying to reality test what's fair and somebody is being unreasonable or appears to be unreasonable to the other party, I will ask them to take a breather and take independent advice and come back.
Yes,
because. Yes. You know what I mean? It sometimes it needs to be taken outside of the room for a moment. But that wouldn't be typical, to be honest with you. It is typical to work through it with people. And as I say, when they come, they have the incentive that they want it to work.
Of course they do. Of course they do. Well, listen, it's great talking to you, and you obviously have a great success rate, and you have a lot of empathy having been through these difficult situations yourself. So I think it's a wonderful service, and I'm sure it's invaluable to many couples. I'm sure there are many people who are very grateful to you because they haven't had to waste their life savings to try and separate their lives. So one final question, where can people get this book?
Yeah, the book is available in all good bookshops. It's in Easons. It's available online with Orpen Press, the publisher.
Great stuff. Well, I'd highly recommend it. Lovely talking to you. Wishing you well.
And you. Thank you, Mairead.
Thank you very much, Michelle. Bye-bye.
An will phone poca nuawet, an will knapi no fum nis orjawet, nis eiskele husod, faker na phone eintok atal gwyn, an cho, eg daro, an vone clishta is dani, gidi gohan la hai glina agus taskina, ta rud egan gogachtana. Ta nismo olis eg daro.com.